Blog Talk Radio.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we lose our soul, if it takes all night long. The evening sun is sinking low. Clock on the wall says it's time to go. But I got my plans, and I got plans for you. I'll tell you all exactly what we're all gonna do. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Why is it 12 o'clock and it might be 3? Time doesn't mean that much to me. Ain't felt as good since I don't know when. Don't know when I'm gonna feel this way again.
So come on, get in the groove and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We're gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
Might be 6 o'clock, it might be 8. It don't matter that it's getting late. We gonna make the band play one more song. Get in the groove if it takes all night long.
Get in the groove and let the good times roll. We gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long. Come on and let the good times roll. We gonna stay here till we soothe our soul, if it takes all night long.
All night,
all night,
all night,
all night,
if it takes all night,
all night.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Somizing Poetry. I hope everyone's having a great week, and I hope you have an even better weekend to follow. And let's see. Well, I guess we're all ready for the night to begin. We got lots of poetry on the board and lots of audios. I wanted to let everyone know that I will be putting up a SoundCloud in the room for everyone to access, and it is a verbal calendar for our show schedules. And there's already a written one up. I opted to take it down and rearrange it because I want to make sure it's in a predominant place, but I still want everyone to be able to follow the other. And that's just going to tell you where, when, and how. Or actually, it's the where, when, what, and whose. We did not do the house. That's what we did. So Rex put it together, and I'll be happy to put that on the board. Well, maybe after the show, maybe tomorrow. Anyway, and our surprise for the evening is, hello, Laurent. Welcome back. It's good to have you.
Well, good evening, Jean, and good to have you. It was good to hear to Let the Good Times Roll, which I remember most favorably as Cajun. Laissez le bon temps rouler. It's a great tune.
Yeah, watch your mouth.
Well, you sound chipper tonight.
Well, that's because I had a nap. That happens.
You did have a nap.
Those naps. Those naps make a world of difference.
And you didn't even snore.
Well, see. Actually, I never snore. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. I beg you.
Oh, my goodness. So I'm looking forward to tonight. We have some good poems and some great audios. And I want to say welcome to Thomas B. Hey, Thomas. How are you
Hello,
tonight?
Hello. How are you?
Hey, Thomas.
Pretty good. How's it by you?
Took my wife out to a Potomac winery, had a nice lunch, celebrated her birthday. Been good.
Oh, nice.
Well, I'm jealous.
Very nice. I'm sure she enjoyed that. What do you want Thomas to take you? What did you say, Thomas? I'm sorry.
I just was asking Laurent what he was jealous of. Beautiful women or birthdays?
Hey, you better keep quiet.
Or just
I thought maybe he was jealous that you didn't take him to lunch. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder.
No, it's something about a winery that immediately caught my attention.
Oh, is that what it is?
It sounds
like
a really nice old one, too. It's been around for a while.
Nice.
Cool.
It sounds a wonderful day, nice change, something different, It's a way to celebrate.
Absolutely.
And lunch, though. Yes, yes. And I'm sure she's over 21 now.
Yeah.
See? Not much,
most of
I'm sure.
Most of us are at this point in life,
my son's
shipping out to Texas. Well, we'll see how that goes. He's gone for a year.
Right. Thomas, I got to ask you, how long you been on that medicine? Because I remember when I started taking it, I coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed and coughed.
Yeah,
and then
well,
all of a sudden
I've been on it for about a year now, and I just suck on cough drops every so often. Seems to work.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was thankful when I stopped coughing on it because it was pretty bad. I remember. It was like, oh, my God, I don't know what's worse. Well, I guess coughing was better than high blood pressure, but, definitely. Those are no fun. From my understanding is, anyway, they're no fun. But
When I've heard, they put a terrible, terrible dent in your day.
Yeah, I've heard that. Absolutely.
Don't want to find out, that. Really.
Absolutely. I hear you. I was hoping maybe, you'd been on them just a short time. But, yeah, they do. I was surprised to find that out. I had no idea that was a side effect until I was like, man, why am I coughing? And I used to be a heavy smoker, and I'm thinking, oh, God, I finally did myself in. Then I found that it was medicine.
When did you quit?
I quit in May. I landed in the hospital last time. That was the last cigarette I had.
She's got a framed half cigarette. Well, it will be framed. And it's got the date
that
you quit on it.
I quit in 2010.
It does. I was a heavy smoker.
Three packs.
I was probably.
Yeah, 3 or 4 packs a day. That was me, too.
I was about 2 packs, maybe a little more, give or take a little bit. That's pretty good habit.
Depending on how the day went. Yeah, well, that was Paul Mall, Chester Fields.
Well, mine was depending on how much I slept. If I stayed up late, I smoked more. If I wasn't better than normal.
Yeah. Nicotine's like crazy.
Yeah, I was a fiend, man. A fiend. I was like that the whole time I smoked, from the time I started. I was always like that. So, I guess I'm lucky I'm still here.
I started when I was 19, and 3 packs a day, right from the first day.
Wow.
That was back when they were...
I smoked a lot, though. I smoked at least a pack a day when I started. Now, it doesn't sound like much, but, you know, I was right.
Don't
know. Yeah.
Oh, no, we all understand.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. I was shocked that I actually just stepped away from them, but I then did it. And again, you know, the hospital makes somebody do that. They'll make you Yes, it is. Okay, well, look, I have 2 more callers. I have Kel Smiles on the line. Hey, Kel, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Hello, Kel.
If I was any better, I'd be twins. We all know that answer. And but it's good to have you tonight, that's for sure. And, and then we have our second caller is Dan Deschino, I believe. Hi, Dan, how are you tonight?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well, and I smoked Jamaican Gold because I didn't smoke cigarettes when I smoked. That's all I did.
Yeah, I know that thing, too.
No actual cigarettes, so, yeah.
Jamaican Gold is a badass weed.
There you go. I don't know if it was when I just made up the
name. Should have
tried the
stuff we picked out of the cornfields in Nebraska.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I've been down that road too.
that's kind of a common thing, no?
Now I can drive up the street and just buy it. It's not as fun, you know.
In Virginia, they just don't prosecute. It's still illegal.
Oh, it is.
Well,
no, in Massachusetts, I have 2 dispensaries in my town alone in Massachusetts.
I can drive
lines. I actually saw a television ad the other day that was advertising marijuana. This is the world we live in now.
why don't you get yourself a $70 grow tent, put it next to you, so that while you're doing the show, you can unzip it and look at the flourishing plant like I do during these shows.
There you go.
Yeah. And if it flourishes well enough, Roma itself will make you high, yes.
Oh, God.
On the other end, what I used to have when I was in the office was a basil plant because it smelled
basil,
so good.
Yeah.
And I would literally just kind of made my office smell like basil all day, so I loved it.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
I used to go out in the front yard. Up the rosemary between my fingers because that was such a great smell.
Ah,
whatever makes us happy, right?
Damn, Rex, you better call in. You're the expert on all this. Panama Red, Maui Wowie, Kona Gold, Thai Six, Red Rock, Quand Rock, Black Wacky. Boy, no. Read his line in the room. Rex's line in the room.
I'm going to get my Panama Red, Mally Wally, Kona Gold, Thai 6, Red Rock, Quand Rock. Like, oh, my goodness gracious. He is the connoisseur. What was that one you had? You had that one poem in your about the dispensary, I think, didn't you? That was pretty funny. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Hey, look, we got another caller. We got Pam on the line. Hey, Pam. What's happening?
Hey, Gene. Hey, company. Good to hear y'all.
Yeah.
Hi, Lauren.
Got a party.
Hey, fam.
Hello.
We got the party going.
I'm not sure who's all here.
We have Thomas.
We got Daniel, Kel, Tom, Gene, me, and you.
Yes.
All right. All right.
We got Rex holding the board.
All right. It's always good to see Rex on the board. Of course, it's nicer to have him call in, but, you know, it's better than nothing to see him on the board.
Well, you know, I think he wanted a night off. I don't blame him.
Oh, I don't blame him. He's a hardworking guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends on how far off you are.
Okay, so. Okay, never mind. Sorry, a comment caught my eye. So, the heck with that. I'm not doing comments anymore. Anyway, it's so great to have everybody here. It's all a bunch of fun. Well, they're devilish today. Now, listen, what we have tonight is we have a good conglomeration. Dan, are you leaving early? Probably, right? I'm only asking because I hate when you leave and you don't get to read your poem. And then I always feel guilty making you read it first. You know what? Never mind. I'm going to have you read it first.
Got a nice
then,
crowd. No problem.
I know. No. But Dan sometimes gets called away, and I don't want that to happen because I'd like for him to get a chance to read his poem.
I appreciate that. I've actually been working since 2 a.m. today, so I probably won't make it much more than an hour, so I appreciate that.
Yuck.
Where are you
That's
calling
a long
from?
Day.
I'm calling from Massachusetts.
Oh, okay.
But I had a start at 2 this morning, and I've been going, so.
That's awful early.
I'm on ultra extra mode here. It's waiting to crash. I will be more than honored to go first.
I appreciate that. I just hate to do that to people. But we have a crowd here at the beginning, so it'll work. That'll work. Okay,
excellent.
Whenever you're ready, hon.
This is on the Jonathan Livingston Seagull contest called Release Your Fate to the Wind. Cast your fate into the wind, my friends, and soar into the heavens. Take to the skies like songbirds in spring, for the wind knows the way. As the bringer of life, it sees all and hears all. It romances the gentlest of flowers to dance in the night, and can bring down the tallest of mountains with an endless cycle of tempest rage. It gives a voice to the trees, or may silence the loudest scream with its might. As I humbly bow down to the majesty of the wind, so does the wind submit to the mercy of the all-powerful sun. Born before the world itself, the unceasing sunlight entices the air into an invisible swirling ballet, decides its every movement, quenches its thirst, and gives color and shape to formless chaos. And as I glance beyond the sun, I see the ultimate power in the universe, the controller of all things, the creator of all form, unity. For I see the explosion of creation that separated all things and the desire of unity to force the attraction that brought everything together and created all that we know. And it is attraction that continues to fuel the flame of the sun and give breath to the wind. So release yourself to the air. Let its currents guide your flight, and you will be powered by atomic harmonies as old as the dawn of creation. End poem.
Wow.
Excellent.
Nicely done, my friend. Nicely done. You know, this is a really beautiful piece because I like the way that it combines or takes science couched in poetic language with the last line that took my breath away. But what I really like, and I like all the stanzas, as I humbly bow down to the majesty of the wind, so does the wind submit to the mercy of the all-powerful sun, born before the world itself. The unceasing sunlight entices the air into an invisible, swirling ballet, decides its every movement, quenches its thirst, and gives color and shape to formless chaos. I thought that was just a wonderful combination of the real world and the poetics that live within your breast. And that last line, and you will be powered by atomic harmonies as old as the dawn of creation. I love atomic harmonies. That's a great phrase. Well done, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's what I was going for, a combination of science and, you know, poetry.
It works. It works very well, Daniel. And Thomas, how about you, my friend?
Well, first, let me just say, that I have always wanted to be able to speak with this great sense of vision and great sense of magnificence of a universe. I can't. You do it really, really well, Jordan. I really can't. I'm always impressed with things like test your feet into the wind, my friends, and soar into the heavens. Take to the skies like songbirds in spring, where the wind knows the way. I can't write like that. I really envy it. I really think it's beautiful. I'm not making light of it in any way whatsoever. I really admire the vision, the sense of form and shape and a universe, the science, the poetry, and the art that allows them to mix together so well. I really like this. This is a lot of fun.
Thank you. You write like that, actually.
Thank you.
Cast Your Fate to the Wind, that's how I started the poem. I stole it from a Vince Guaraldi song.
That's a wonderful song. Isn't that a great song?
Yeah. It's a great song, and I was listening to that song, and then the title was like, oh, so I kind of went from there, started with that, and kind of went on. Well, it's a great title, great song.
Nice.
Oh, you know, Bob Price said, artisans borrow greatness steals.
That's right. That's absolutely.
All right, we're going to cut to Cal for a comment. Cal, how about you?
Oh, golly, this is gorgeous. I love the physiological aspects of all of it, the wind, the skies, the sun, and how it all forms the universe and it's all unified together. And I really like to release yourself to the air, let its currents guide your flight, and you will be powered by atomic harmonies as old as the dawn of creation. It's just very enlightening and powerful right there. You know, just let yourself be, go, you know, follow your destiny. And that's just really beautiful, Danny. Very beautiful.
Thank you,
great comment. And Madame Pam, your comment.
Yeah, I really like this one. I have to say, this was not an easy contest to judge. There was only 16 entries, but, you know, the great majority of them, including this one, was worthy of the top three. It just does absolutely a beautiful and brilliant how you, as you mentioned, you combine the science and the spirituality of it. I really like Take to the Skies Like Songbirds in Spring, for the wind knows the way as a bringer of life. It sees all and hears all. There's a certain sense of trust, putting your trust in the forces out there greater than yourself. And I really like, as I humbly bow to the majesty of the wind, and then when you get to near the end, where you mention, and you will be powered by atomic harmonies as old as dawn of creation, because as I mentioned, you know, it's just an excellent light on the beauty and power of the universe, and the thought of connection between all atoms. And I really felt that. I felt like there was kind of this whole idea that there is a connection between everything and everyone that makes up this universe. And so it's just an absolutely beautiful light and very well done.
Thank you.
Very insightful comment, Pam. Thank you. And Jean, that brings us to you. Off mute, of course.
And that's the way to start the night. Dan, if you were going for a combination of spirituality and science, I guess you nailed it. Really. This was an absolutely wonderful write. I could have started off by taking the first line, and I probably would have had to take it all the way to the bottom line. I have to agree with Laurent, and I believe Thomas picked the same space as well. You know, as I humbly bow down to the majesty of the wind. But I can't stop there at the shape to formless chaos. As I glance beyond the sun, I see the ultimate power in the universe, the controller of all things, the creator of all form, unity. That, you know, that whole two sections, just, man, they were wonderful, really wonderful. And I want to tell you, I really enjoyed this piece a lot. A lot. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Thank you, thank you. Always humbled.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that was excellent piece. Excellent work. Okay. And I'm going to go back to the top, and I'm going to start with some of these sound clouds and try and work us in between and around, because we have 9 sound clouds, or audios, however you want me to call them. It's a lot. So I'm going to start here with Frank. I'm sorry, Tom, what'd you say?
I just said your efforts with late night poets and stuff is catching on. I really.
I'm telling you, I love when I get audio. I like when I have callers too. So don't ever, ever, ever think you're all just going to send me noise. Not noise, but you know what I mean. Anyway, I love it. Let me push the button for Frank's poem and we're going to be good to go.
Allow me to enter the susceptible core of your fragile mind at will, and take you then on a surreal journey of absolute terror felt into the deep recesses of the cold, dark chambers of horror, a phantasmagoric world where dreams are not hallucinations. A place of lingering shuttles in the asphaltic shade of death, magenta balls of an acrylic colour, of the aisles of a macabre theatre, hoary ashes of broken fragments, of alabaster bones of amputees, the reverential applauses from the rows of skeletons in the audience. The curtains rise and the presenter of this wicked play of acts announces the actors of thespianism that will be the eternal entertainment scene. But you are the main actor of this sinister play, and I am the playwright, the perverted creator of haunting illusions feeding off human fear. The air is full of the ghostly vapour, a poisonous fume spreading then, ghastly echoes of the voices of the tortured souls of a centurial inquisition. Scenes of fret and scare accompany obstreperous screams of gasping breaths, the heavy chops of the sounds of axes piercing through thick skulls of victims. A creepy figure of a man with 8 sprawling arms of tentacles appears before the members of the audience, amused by the distorted spectacle, dressed in his black waistcoat and trousers of ebony eyes of fright, with a Machiavellian smile and a mist of villain laughter heard. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the dark world. Let the gore come in.
Great laugh.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you what, I don't know whether to comment on the performance, presentation of this, or the poem itself. Let me just say that I'm not sure that I ever want to meet Frank in a dark room and see Ebony Eyes of Fright. I'll pass on that. This is not a nightmare. I am your bloody reality. I'll tell you what, you listen to that in a dark room and it's going to raise the hair on the back of your neck. Absolutely. And I was actually disappointed when I saw that it sounds good. I would have loved to have read it for him. It's ultimately engaging. That particular stanza, the air is full of a ghastly vapor of poisonous fumes spreading and on down through piercing thick skulls of victims, really, it really grabbed me. It took me to the darkly fascinating world of dismemberment and pain, but in so elegant and intellectual a way. I said to him, I can't wait to hear you read this tour de force. And I'm glad that he read it. That was great. That was great. Pam, Mistress of the Darkness, may we start with you?
Oh, yeah, this was definitely an epic dark write and read. I like his use of imagery and how he throws in the extra details, like the air is full of the ghostly vapor of poisonous fumes spreading then ghastly echoes of the voices of the tortured souls of a central inquisition. You know, the whole idea of the history behind the haunting. You know, I also liked the use of the word phantasmagoric. That was really nice there. And the curtains rise and the presenter of this wicked play of act announces the actors as thespians that will be the nocturnal entertainment scene. The fact that he manages really in, you know, a few stanzas, it's a long life, but not overly long, to create a tale of darkness, fear, and haunting tale, just absolutely wonderful and very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Daniel, how did you like the dark?
I loved it. I loved the type. And yeah, I always love when Frank reads. It's a performance every single time. And all I could think of the whole time was some, like a 1940s, you know, black and white horror movie, how they would start off like that. There would be this, you know, kind of like weird scene coming up, and there'd be a narrator a lot of times kind of introducing what's going on. And I just thought this is, the whole time, that's what I was thinking. And it was just perfect for that, you know, and the way he was saying, you know, but you are the main actor of this sinister play, and I am the playwright, the preferred creator of haunting illusions feeding off human fear. You know, basically saying how it kind of was back then a lot of the times, either with when you would go to the theater, go to live theater or wherever, where they were, you know, where it was interactive, and they were really trying to kind of, the main point of it is not what you're seeing on the screen, it's what you're feeling inside of you, right, the fear that I'm putting into you. Yeah, and so the whole thing, I mean, every line was beautifully written and amazingly read. So I loved it, Frank.
I got to absolutely agree with you. What's going on the screen can cause an extreme audience reaction. You know you've done your job. And Kel, how about you?
Well, I wrote in my comments that Vincent Price moved over. Hitchcock, stand aside. Oh, check yourself at the door. We have a new horror show in town. What a void to haunt and taunt your senses.
Nicely said. I thank you, Kel. Appreciate that. And Tom?
This was just delightful. It's nicely creepy. I was listening to him and envisioning him sitting on a stage or on screen with smoke swirling up around him. And because there's just enough echo in the voice to make it sound like it was coming from some tomb or creepy crypt, and the language and that final laugh just perfect. I was delighted, just really delighted.
Nice comment, Tom. Thank you. And it's you, Gene.
Eugene? Oh, God, we got another one going, Eugene, here. Ah, crazy stuff. And a really good audio. I think you did a great job with that, and I want to thank you for sharing it with us. Well done. Okay. And a damn Eugene's never around when you want him or not. So you may as well just
use
right.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
Okay, here we go. Now, I'm going to work us in and out of these audios. So, Levant, usually you read first, but I'm going to have you read now. And then, I'm going to bump down to the next one.
All right. Very pleased to read a poem written by Fill My Eyes with a little bit of collaborative help from myself. It's called Forever Eternal.
Whatever.
Love, whose eye doth beauty emote. Explores the lips of what poets wrote. sound is made. Hand on cheek strokes rhythms as played. As mouths meet, I murmur your name. Your tongue so sweet sets mine aflame. Drawing breath deeply, soft moans escape. As ever so lovingly you bite your neck's nape. Your heated core warms and cleaves unto mine. The spread of our fingers now intertwined. Hands pressed upon sheets, body arched as reply. Chest upon breast, another deep sigh. No longer two but one, afloat on love's sea. Melding mind and body, spirit's intimacies. In heaven, or blazing fires infernal, no, my love, our kiss will remain forever, eternal. End poem.
Nice reading, Rod. Nice. Well done. I guess
that's some comments on Jean's poem. Let's start with Kel.
God.
Very intimate. Sensuality. Absolutely amazing writing. I love the flow, and the message was amazing. Absolutely beautifully done.
Thank you, Kel. And Daniel?
Yeah, absolutely. absolutely beautiful. Core warms and cleaves unto mine, the spread of our fingers now intertwined. It's just beautiful. I mean, it really just tells a story. You can just see the passion and the love in every movement, every kiss, every touch. And I also love just the composition of it. It was beautifully written poetically to you know, each line to match, each line to rhyme perfectly, which is always very hard to do. But when it's done perfect, it's beautiful. And I really like the, I don't know if it's done on purpose, but I like the composition of how it's kind of, it's rhyming, and it's so exact, just like the two lovers would be exact, right? And at the end, it kind of breaks apart a little bit, but almost like when you're immersed in love and things get kind of chaotic. That's how I kind of took it, as that compositionally. I don't know if it meant like that, but and on the same side, when you kind of leave the forever eternal as its own separate group of words as well too. So I liked all of that. It was really, really beautiful.
Great comments. You're right. Gene's nice touch there with Forever Eternal was a real pleasure.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm going to say this out loud. I'm going to say it right here. You know, I know how Christ felt when he was denied three times. You wrote that line. You were as much involved in this poem as I was. Don't do that. Don't make it one-sided.
Are you scolding me in public? Really? Come on now. Be nice.
Yes.
Well, let's see what the... Let's go to Tom.
Okay. Well, you can come here. I don't mind. I really love the sensuality in this, because it's done with a great deal of simplicity, as few words as possible, just enough hints of what's going on to keep the imagination enchanted, but not overly directed. And then when we get to the last line, it's as if we have moved from the reality to that place, that almost dreamy state that you enter once everything physical has passed, and you're just caught in the magic of the moment, and it feels like infinity is too small a space to hold everything that's going on for you. I just really enjoyed it immensely. Very well done.
Thank you, Tom. You know, when you write with a poet like Gene, there's a few things you've got to realize right up front. Number one, she's a great ear for the way syllables fall and whether it requires another syllable or a syllable less. She also has a great ear for the meaning of words. Even words we might consider simplistic have really vast, extended meanings. And she always manages to find the right one. Now, I'm not saying that our poetry is not written without a little acrimony. There's arguments, certainly. But it always seems to work pretty well. So I will give Gene a chance to say something about the poem.
Well, there's not really too much to say. I mean, you know, we put our heads together, and I think we came out with something that was beautiful, and I thought it was well done. And, you know, I was proud to post it. And, you know, I appreciate everyone's wonderful comments on the piece. You know, it's nice to know that, you know, it hits people the way that was intended. That always, you know, we all know as poets that always feels good. You know, when people get what we're saying. I mean, it wasn't a huge poem. It wasn't an elaborate poem. But I think that it, you know, had all the right notes for what was intended. You know, and that's always a success. Absolutely. So, with that note, thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Let me see. Okay, the next poem I have set up. Thanks. Let's see. Here's the next one, and this is by Budo.
Outstanding piece. Outstanding. Tom, may we start with you, please?
Yeah, Dad, turn off my mute. I really enjoyed this. The rhythm of the guitar, the spaces he leaves between the various phrases, the cosmic, for lack of a better word, are heavenly. Descriptions of outer space and her qualities. I love a comet's tale of wanderlust, watch her trace across the sky. Some of that was really nice, and the way things like watch her trace the sky in a blink of an eye. I just like the way it worked. There's a rhythm in it and the sound. It was delightful all the way through.
Thank you, Tom. I thought that the cosmic and aerial backdrop to this song gives it the energy and skill with words that really does transport the reader. As ever, a real pleasure to sample his work. Cal, please.
Oh, golly, another beautiful, beautiful song by Budo. I enjoyed how he was able to keep the beat all throughout it. The lyrics were beautiful, and so were the visuals. I like the cosmic feel to it. It's just really a very lovely song.
Thank you, Cal. And Daniel, so please.
Really, really need to find the old recording.
You're right. All right, Daniel.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. It definitely was outstanding. He was just like a farmer, outstanding in his fields. Sorry, I had to throw that one out there. Yeah, I know. Sorry, I couldn't resist. It really is beautiful. I'm assuming this is about the sun, and you know, great personification, and just really beautiful ways to describe things, I think. So, her robe veiled in comic dust, a comet's trail of wanderlust, watch her trace across the sky. It could be about a comet, too, but I got it as about the sun. Angel's flakes of this come soon, the Tolkien kiss. Catch her rainbow when it's thrown in the shadows, not alone. Find the gold in stellar folds of star-crossed stories yet untold. I mean, the whole thing is a beautiful love song towards that. And, you know, what's hard about writing a song is you write a poem, and then you have to usually change it to be singable. So to do that, then also make it a poem at the same time, and make it say what you want to say is always a difficult thing. And you know, he does a great job. And this is one of my favorite lyrics that he has written. So like I said, every stanza is just kind of a really beautiful way of expressing, you know, what I'm taking as a tribute to the sun.
Thanks, Daniel. And is Pam back with us by any chance?
No.
All right, Gene, what's next?
I don't know. Thomas is next. That is only planned.
Oh, what?
See now. I have it here somewhere. I just have to remember which page I have it on. Okay, check. Let me say that it's not that one. Yes, here it is. Okay, Thomas, your poem is up. I'm going to be ready. Thank you.
All right. The title is a little my humor. A left turn. A left turn. I thought I knew where I was going. You walked in just about the time when I was about ready to walk out. Something in a song, maybe the sparkle your smile made me feel, but I stopped listening since I fell from the cradle when the bow broke. One too many drinks leads one to hope. And then you walked in. And when you spoke, I told a joke, and you pulled up a stool, and we were both fools, and then we talked, painting hopes on the mirror with the bottles all in a row. I know them better than I know my own home. The music is piped in along with the drinks. You lean on my arm, and I start to think. Maybe on a maybe twine ground, a bottle of fool, I will sell you a dream and you will steal my soul. We members of the bar shared scars as we melted and tilted, talking about stars. I thought I knew what was coming. You seemed to know what you wanted. We were both surprised by a taste of heaven, left wondering if drinking was a necessary sin. I went home to empty. You slipped out of sight. I am comfortable with lonely and didn't want to steal a night. But I woke up the next morning. Not.
Did we lose Tom?
I think we lost him.
We lost Tom now. Oh, my goodness.
Not feeling what I drank left me wondering if lonely was right. Well, he was doing a great job of reading that. But, yeah,
right.
I'm sure he'll be back. Let's start with Cal, please.
There he is.
I'm back.
Love him back.
He was just doing a really good dramatic pause.
Yeah, right.
He was doing.
You want to reread that last stanza?
Okay, I went home to empty, you slipped out of sight, I am comfortable with lonely, and didn't want to steal a night. But I woke up the next morning, not feeling what I drank, left me wondering if lonely was right.
Right, that was a great song, a great song. That was a great poem read, unfortunately interrupted by the drop, the deadly drop. Kel, could you start us off, please?
Yes. Well, I really enjoyed this. It reminded me a lot of the nights I've been sitting at the bar talking to people or whoever was sitting beside me. You know, and then ended up going home alone, which was fine because this was mostly there for the company. But, you know, he left wondering if, you know, he should have stuck around and maybe walked her home too. So it was just kind of, you know, one of those things you just don't know what to do. So it's really awesome. I liked it.
Thank you. And Daniel, please.
Yeah, I like this a lot. I actually think this is one of my favorite ones I've read from you. I love the title. I think it's a really interesting way of describing the whole night, right? That you were with this person, you were going one way, and then all of a sudden, you know, you went a different way, right? I left her, and I thought I knew where it was going. Is an interesting way to describe that. I thought that was very clever. And I just love the scene set of this. And a lot of the lines reminded me of almost like some of it was, you know, what was reminding me of was the song "Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting" by Elton John. The painting hopes in the mirror with the bottles all in a row. I know them better than I know my own home. Just for some reason, what came to mind was I'm a used up product of the working class whose best friend floats in the bottom of a glass, which is from that poem, that Elton John song. So that kind of an idea was what the whole thing was kind of reminding me of, which is really beautiful. And I just like the whole, you know, you can picture this all happening, and I thought that the way that you described just everything, you can feel the loneliness and the sadness or the hope in this person as well too. So again, this is one of my favorites I've ever read from you. I thought it was really, really like introspective. I loved it.
Nicely commented on. You know, there's certain fascinating things about this piece. I agree with what Daniel said. I won't reiterate what he spoke on. But there's a number of things in here that stand out. One too many drinks leads one to hope. And then painting hopes on the mirror with the bottles all in a row. The music is piping in a lot of people. Maybe on a maybe wind around a bottle of fool. We were both surprised by taste of heaven, left wondering if drinking was necessary. And then, not feeling what I drank, but wondering if lonely was right. And when you look at the poem as a whole, and then take those lines, it's almost like something internal going on, where drink is almost necessary, but as if the whole evening kind of wound around that. Drinks bring hope, but how realistic is the hope? Is it a pipe dream? Is it a real dream? And if you're not affected by the dream, well, it wasn't a drink, it was something else. But then, you know, you go with, I went home to empty. You slipped out of sight. I'm comfortable, lonely. Didn't want to steal a knife. Almost as if you were warning yourself away with a line, I will sell you a dream. You will steal my soul. Perhaps not ready for that of a change in life. Either way, I just thought it was brilliant written with a lot of interpretive elasticity. Thank you very much for that talk. And that brings us to Gene.
Gene. What are you doing, Gene? I have a comment for Thomas. There it is. I knew I had it somewhere. Tom, I thought this was really well expressed. Enjoyed the tale you told and the imagery of the scenes involved. I thought it was excellent work. And I did read your comment underneath of the piece where you were answering someone back, you know, where you used to bartend and people would tell you all their words. So I kind of found that to be an interesting bit of a conversation because, you know, those things do affect us and how we see things in our lives. And I think that that was a good draw for you in this poem. So nice job. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to say anything about your poem, Tom?
Well, I mean, you know, I write, this is one of these things where it's written more from observation than anything else. Because truthfully, I used to be the guy that went into bars and drank coffee because I don't really drink.
Yeah.
You know, once in a while when I'm at home, you know, because I like the taste of certain liqueurs and stuff like that, but I'm not a drinker. And I'm the designated driver more often than not. But I know the scene. I mean, I started learning it from when I was playing in bands when I was in high school and college. I mean, so it just goes with the territory.
Starting to break up.
So I'm back to enjoy it.
Sorry to interrupt you, but maybe you can get that squared away. In the meantime, let's send it back to Gene.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy crackling that goes on these days. I don't know. I think it's our phone line via Blog Talk, so just an idea or an observation. Okay, I'm going to put up the next piece by Versus Goliath. And that was a carryover. I have to get the right one. He has two on the board. I think that it's this one. The title of the piece is Jack of Clubs. Everybody cross your fingers.
Jack of Clubs by Versus Goliath. What's the point in writing poetry when every line criminally misunderstood? An AI ranks which words are pretty, gives negative reviews to intelligence amplitude. Too strong is all too common for me. 1 out of 10 on professional scale, the prude. Talk of science, botany, geology, ecology ruins attempts at the whole sensual attitude. It gets tiresome. Feeling lonesome. The interests and metaphors hacked at, projections of others repeated, echoed. Guess this hypocrite will continue stacking fat with lies until the support beams explode. Don't forget the first and second rules. We are the ones who pave violent roads. This is what a man really looks like, unlike those underwear models mostly exposed. So I want you to hit me as hard as you can. End poem.
Well, that was a little broken up, and not your fault, as I understand it now, through Gene. It's Blog Talk, but this is a great piece, Jack of Clubs, and I agree with virtually all your comments. However, I found rare moments when efforts at a higher score bear fruit. It has driven me to find ways to retain what you call intelligence amplitude while still satisfying auto. Those moments are rare, however. What a nice way to speak your piece. I couldn't agree with you more. Daniel, please.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I think this is really interesting and important piece to talk about is, you know, and I really like the first line, what's the point of writing poetry when every line is criminally misunderstood? And it kind of sets the stage to me for the whole thing, and it's really interesting. You know, we I forget who it was that just said it. You know, it's really great when people do understand your poetry, and it is. And there's so many times when they don't. I always love when people find, you know, to hear people's different takes on it, which makes me very happy. But sometimes you get disappointed when you don't hear somebody say, you know, what you were actually going for, right? So you know you get that. But then I think there's also a hint in here of expectations. You know, about how we're all expected to do certain things and act certain ways throughout our lives, and he talks about it and gets a little angrier towards the end, which you can see almost like the frustration and in the thought process of that. I guess this hypocrite will continue stacking fat with lies until the support beams explode. You know, almost trapped in the fact that he can't say exactly what he wants. Instead, he has to put things different ways so he can get his point across as opposed to the way that he wants to. So really interesting. And like I said, I think it's an important piece because it's something everybody feels, and there is such a huge disconnect just on the whole world of I mean, you know, how many different arguments and protests and things do you see a million times around the day, every day, because nobody can understand each other. Right, so that I kind of got it as that on that scale. So I liked it a lot, absolutely.
Great comment, my friend. Thank you. And Tom, please.
Well, I agree with Dan. I like the first thing I noticed was the Jack of Clubs in the last line, and so I want you to hit me as hard as you can. We're all playing blackjack, you know, and you never know when you're gonna go bust. I mean, that's just sort of the background sense in this whole thing to me. Because what's the point of writing poetry when every line is so criminally misunderstood? You know, we're all players, actors on stage. And I agree somewhat with Brown, who when he commented on the fact that he knew he'd written a good poem when he and the people who read the poem shared a similar meaning. But some of that also talks about how many people want you to write a poem a certain way or in a certain form, or otherwise in their minds it's not poetry. So you're out there trying to sort of carve your own path and write the way you think it should be written, but you know there's a lot of people out there who are going to disagree with you. And so I love his line about we're the ones that pave the violent road. because in the end, as an artist, you really have no choice but to stay true to your views and write the way that you feel it has to be written, regardless of what everybody else thinks. And sometimes that means taking on the chin. You take it on the chin. And I think that also has a lot to do with, and this is what a man really looks like. You know, I'm not lying and I'm not playing games. Right on the money. If you want to have everything, you know, Photoshopped in a sense, then go for it. But that's not going to be where the art is.
Great comment, Tom. Thank you so much. And Kel, not to call on you last, but please share with us. Off mute.
Unmute.
Jean, is she still with us?
Yes, she is.
Okay, she'll catch on pretty quick.
Unmute.
She's on mute.
I'm sorry. Unmute.
We knew.
Welcome, welcome.
Oh, Lord. I was talking to myself. you want me to continue?
Please.
Yes,
please.
Go for it.
I really like this, but I like Bruce's poetry. I like his rhythm. I like his flow. I love... the way he, nothing straight and narrowed. It's all kind of jumbled. But that's fine. That's his style. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know? You know, sometimes I don't always understand, but I don't always understand Peter Solway. I don't always understand Eric Swenson. I don't always understand a lot of you. But that doesn't make it a bad poem. That just means I don't understand it, which is fine, too. You know? So this is a very, very beautiful piece in expressing how, you know, people can look at what you write and argue with it, but they don't really have a right to argue with it because it comes from you, and that's all that matters, period.
Well said, Cal, well said. Yeah, I sometimes think all of us as poets, sometimes, and auto rank, grade on way too short a curve. All right, Gene.
Okie dokie. Well, Verses, I think that was a great poem. I think that it was clever and well written. As for auto rank, I don't pay him any mind. As for everybody else, you know, poetry is interpreted by the reader. And if they don't get what's being said, then it's not always the writer's fault. Not always. Sometimes it's just where your reader's head is at the time, for the moment. So, great job. Thanks for sharing with us. Okay, Kel, I have your piece up next.
Okay, this is called Pawn. Center stage on the block, black, white, checkered, squared, game of chance is being played. Alone in anguish, she awaits. Full moonlight illuminates. All invisibly, she's chained in place. No chance of escaping spaces. She is a mere pawn to be used. In this game, she either wins or loses everything that brings her to life inside her own mind. An alabaster gown, black trim, a puppet to be mastered by who? One who can hold her to life. The next few moves will decide whether she will live or die. Masterminds will choose which pawns are used to check bishops. Ivy covered the sight of moving. King, queen behind her looming. In misery, her mind tips toes over the board waiting for a master handler to move her or checkmate. End poem.
Well read, Kel. Well read. I'm going to take this one stanza. Masterminds will choose which pawns are used to check bishop. Ivy cover beside her unmoving. King queen behind her looming. In misery, her mind tiptoes over the board, waiting for a master handler to move her or checkmate. When I commented earlier, I told Cal, we all feel manipulated in one way or another. And the way you voice the experience is filled with the discontinuity of being moved like a piece on a game board. I thought this is very well thought out, very well written. Nice job. And let's go to Daniel.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm trying to continue with my rock and roll theme here, but what's the Yes song I'm thinking of? I can't think of the name of it. I think of every other Yes song on the planet. What's the one I'm thinking of? Anybody? Doesn't matter. I'll think of it later. But that's okay. I always like that. You know, I think chess is a very interesting game because it is very, you know, there's so much you can get towards life with it. Just the way it's set up, there's a lot of metaphors with that, and especially the pawns. You know that we. You know, pawns are used, you know, if you know what you're doing in chess, they're used to, to sacrifice, right, to save the king and the queen. And she is a mere pawn to be used in this game. She either wins or loses everything that brings to her life inside her own mind, an alabaster gown, black trim, a puppet to be mastered by whom holds the keyed life. It's just an interesting, really, way to think about one's life like that. But we all think that way. I forget who. I think it was. I'm sorry. Like I said, I've been up since 2 a.m. I'm not thinking straight. There's a famous person that said that. You know, we're all. They call this the bungled and the botched. And, you know, there's people like Walt Disney and Hitler who are set for greatness, and we're all the pawns in the middle. And I think that's a really good a way of, you know, kind of a really neat way of putting this, and well-deserved of the bronze that you got for this one. So nice job.
Nice comment, Daniel. And as an aside, I do like the Guicho piano opening in chess, if you're familiar with it. All right. Tom, have you commented?
No, but I will.
Please do.
I enjoyed this because of how much she kept the focus on the way things were building and the way things were and the way things look, because for most of us, yeah, we do feel like pawns, but that's simply because oftentimes we can't see the forest for the trees. It's like the old game of 20/20 hindsight. When you step back from the whole thing and you're no longer directly involved, it all sort of makes sense. But when you're involved in it, you don't feel like you have any control, or you want control, and where you do try to put in control, all you do is make things worse. And so the lines of puppets be mastered by one who holds her keyed life. The next few moves will decide whether she will live or die. Are really sharp and acute and bring home the idea that oftentimes we feel like we're thrown into situations where we didn't ask to be there, but all of a sudden, you know, everything's on the line. I mean, you know, where I live, coming home, you never know what idiots you're going to find driving in the middle of the road and come around a curve. And I'm always feeling like they're taking charge of my life in ways I'm not particularly happy about.
Well commented on. Well commented on. Now, Gene, do we have another caller by any chance?
Well, we do, but I would like to comment on this poem before I answer the phone.
Go for it.
By all means. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was working my way there. It's all right. Actually, Kel, I thought you did an excellent job with this. I enjoyed the references, the chess references. I found it to be intriguing and well done. So I like it, and I appreciate it very much. As a poem, you know, as a poet. And Dan, I'm not sure what song you were trying to get with Yes. You're talking about All Good People?
I found it. It's I've seen All Good People. I just found it. Although Kel's lyrics are much better. They really are. But yeah, I've seen All Good People. I just found it. Yeah. That was the one.
I was just wondering, because I was like, which one does he mean? So
yeah,
anyhow, that was fun. Okay, great job. Okay, and yes, we have Captain B2 on the line. So, welcome aboard, Bobby.
I'm sorry I'm late to the party. I forgot it was Friday.
Hi, Bob. That's all right. That's all right.
Hi.
Isn't that the day the Eagles shoot? How can you forget Fridays?
It's easy when you're retired.
Absolutely.
I'm kind of retired, and I don't forget Fridays. Oh, wait, I'm not retired from Fridays. Yeah. So anyway, I have the next poem up. And this one is... Wow, I got to figure out where the hell my room went. I lost the room now. Wow, imagine that. Okay, this piece... this one I have an audio for. And this is by Mr. M. So let me hit that button.
This is my recital of Not Me, version 2. Whispers echo through my mind that I truly can't forget. It seems this shell was designed as a housing for regret. Even though I have tried to be a better man, a thousand burdens rest inside a soul that never can. Seemingly I am held back by shadows of the past. I fight against the dreadful black, but the struggle never lasts. I tried to join the masquerade, but life had called my bluff. Despite the changes I have made, I'll never be good enough. This vessel that you stand before is a ghost of what used to be. For I am nothing anymore. I am not even me.
Deeply dark. Me too. Can we start with you, please?
Sure. Boy, a very morose, somber, very dark, like you said, but beautifully crafted. I mean, it's beautifully written. It flows nicely, but its theme is so haunting, especially the last. I am nothing anymore. I'm not even me. My goodness, to have lost yourself is a pretty sad development. And this is a beautiful piece, but like you said, very dark.
It is. You know, when I read this, I couldn't help but thinking to myself, there's more than one dying of the light to rage at. Self-confidence and belief in yourself are terrible things to lose. And the poet voiced the pit of despair so authentically. I told him, if personal, you have my prayers. If a work of imagination, it's convincingly real. Seemingly, I am held back by shadows of the past. I fight against the dreadful black, but the struggle never lasts. The rhyming in this is adroit and the flow seamless. I thought it was thoroughly enjoyable. And if I can break the routine a little bit, I'd like to go to Gene, because Gene's got probably more experience with Robert or Mr. M's poetry than anybody on the board tonight. Gene, what did you think?
Well, you know, I love this piece because I respect where Robert came from with this. He does do a lot of dark pieces, and he does a lot of introspective pieces. And sometimes you have to kind of figure out which ones are which. But I thought this was a very sad poem, but very well written. He definitely hits all the notes when it comes to his dark poetry. And he hits all the notes when it comes to his introspective as well. He's very well versed. Let's put it that way. So it was an excellent piece. And Robert, I thank you for putting it on board. And I am sorry we did not play it last week. But I'm always happy to have your poetry on the board. So thanks, Laurent.
Thank you, Gene. Thank you, Gene. Great comment. And Kel, please.
I thought it was a very emotive, passionate piece. Very dark and powerful self-involved, but full of self-doubt and lack of confidence. It's just really very deep. It's beautifully written. But it's also very sadly done.
You're absolutely right. I do agree with you. And Thomas, please.
This is the kind of poetry, to be honest, I stay away from, but that's because it brings psychologists out of me so heavily. As far as the writing and technique, it's sharp. Very well written, flows really good. The rhymes are smooth and easy. I went down and read through the comments because to me it looked like a prelude to suicide, and so I was immediately coming at it from that position. But it definitely is dark. I'll leave it at that.
Thank you, Daniel. Or thank you, Daniel. And who do we have left? Tom?
You just talked to me.
No. Oh, I did. Wow. Sorry about that. This list is getting long.
No problem.
Daniel, please.
I think you missed. Sorry?
Their name is Daniel?
Kel, did you get... Dan left. Dan's out. Kel, did you get the comment on?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just checking. Then I think you got everybody, Laurent.
All right, cool. What's next?
Your dad's left.
Okay, yeah, you know, I think he was down for the count just about. Okay, Bobby, I have your piece up next. Whenever you're ready. Oh
my goodness. Okie dokie. I did this for a contest that Star BG is holding. Her theme is the inner child. And it's called Painful in Pink. Lovely little girls, petite, perspicacious predators. Pint-sized, ponytail, pink, prepubescent, predinaceous. Diminutive deliverers of deliberate destruction. They revel each time another spirit's shattered. Silver-tongued, savvy, silk, stylish, and sought after. Self-appointed summit of the school's social strata. Puberty's popularity, pivotal pinnacle. Incendiary snarkiness, weapon of choice. Estrogen raptors. Self-possessed pyromaniacs, detente with the dejected and doubtful, debased, defamed, disparaged, detracted, order of the day, excoriate the innocent, vilify the virtuous. Gullible girls, guileless ground zero for guerrilla tactics, naive nerds never knowing what hit them. Main event for merciless mean girls. More often than not, student aristocracy makes bullying bookworms a brutal blood sport. Sharp tongues skewer shy, sheepish, self-effacing students, seldom safety in numbers. More nerds equals more targets. But brave adults know more to stand idly by when victims are chosen because bruised and battered inner child remembers. End poem.
Boy, did you ever describe most of the girls that I knew in high school. High school, junior high school. Boy, oh boy. You have really mastered the art of alliteration. Pint-sized, ponytail, pink, prepubescent, and predacious. Diminutive deliverers of deliberate destruction. That is, I got to say, that's great. But, I really like that gullible girls. Guileless ground zero for guerrilla tactics, naive nerves never knowing what hit them. There is an equivalent in the boys' world. They also seek to hit naive nerds. And it's not a pleasant thing to see, but I thought you outlined that kind of person with great skill. This is a very enjoyable piece. Tom, could we start with you, please?
Well, very sharp use of consonants because the phrase already mentioned, the pint-sized ponytail, pink, prepubescent, predaceous. The P's make for a nice, sharp, funky sound that helps to reinforce the sense of being eviscerated by these particular type of people. It's also an interesting point as we get to the last line, because bruised and battered inner child remembers, and often the hardest job you have is getting that inner child to trust that you will take care of them after not feeling very taken care of in the face of these kind of people. It's all too unfortunately sad, but true. A sharp piece, very well done. And I'm going to leave it there.
It was. It really was. And Kel, please.
This reminds me of so many of these teen movies, like the Heathers and the Mean Girls and the Pretty Girls and all of them, you know, and even to some extent my school days, because I was the nerd, but I wasn't really bullied. I was looked down at, but I wasn't really bullied, so to speak. But Yeah, this is really, the alliteration is amazing. The insight into these girls and their mindset is really spot on. Student Aristotle, I can't talk. Aristotle, bullying, bookworms, a brutal blood sport. Wow, that is, it's very powerful all the way through, Bobby. Very well done.
Great comment, Cal. Thank you so much. That brings us to Gene. Eugene, off mute.
Agent Gene.
What's that?
It's your turn to comment, dear.
I know that. I heard that, but then I heard somebody else say something, so I was trying to follow up on what it was. Anyway, Bobby, this is a great piece and really well done. I like the alliteration and the way you pulled it together. Good luck in that contest. Hopefully you'll do well. Absolutely. No, I thought I heard someone say something when I first came back into off of mute because I have to stay on mute because I can't type. So sorry about that. Okay, the next piece I'm going to put up is by Casey Day, and this is called Hush. So let me, well, let me find it. Here it is. Okay, let me put it on. Here we go.
Hush. You said, hush. Women are meant to be seen, not heard. I uttered under my breath that God didn't build me like a hurricane so that I could be silent for you. And the waves crashed inside my chest, but I bit my tongue because I knew if I dared speak the truth, it would cause your fragile masculinity to splinter and explode, leaving a jungle of you like weeds that refuse to die out.
Wow. That's strong. The lines that resonated with me most, and they really all did, and the waves crashed inside my chest, but I bit my tongue, because I knew if I dared speak the truth, it would cause your fragile masculinity to splinter and explode. I'm afraid that while the large male ego may be necessary for certain anachronistic biological fight survival mechanisms, it's also easily broken by a strong woman. I love the take on this subject. It's very, very good. Where am I? Kel, please.
Oh, this is deep, very deep, and in some ways it's absolutely brutal. Women are meant to be seen, not heard. I uttered under my breath that God didn't build me like a hurricane so that I could be silent for you. And the waves crashed inside my chest. Oh, this is really, emotional, very emotional. It kind of makes me wonder, you know, what is going on? Is she okay? Is this true? Is somebody really treating her this way? If they are, fix their ass, girl, because you don't deserve it. This is really well done, totally really well done. But it just makes you wonder what she's going through. I can't help that. I hope she's okay.
So do I. Thank you very much. Great comment. And Thomas, please.
Well, unfortunately, there are far too many men as she describes in this world. Fortunately, there's enough women like her, dark, bold and strong who won't put up with that BS for very long, if at all, which is good. I delight in the hurricane. God didn't build me like a hurricane so that I could be silent for you. And I bit my tongue because I knew if I dared to speak the truth, it would cause your fragile masculinity to splinter and explode, leaving a jungle of you like weeds that refuse to die out. I can't talk either. It's sharp. It's sarcastic. I love it.
Well, thank you, Tom. And Jean?
I thought this was a very powerful piece. It had a lot of good points she made, and, you know, she definitely told somebody how it was, and I thought it was very well done. It was a brevity, and it was direct. So I'm glad I didn't receive that poem. That would hurt. But that's the beauty of being able to express yourself like that. So excellent job, Casey, and thanks for sharing. Okay. And for our next...
Did I forget B2? I completely forgot B2. Captain?
Honestly,
I don't mind.
I'm sorry.
No, I pretty much echo everyone else's thoughts. I mean, a very powerful piece of female empowerment. I mean, she stands like an Amazon in this thing. I mean, I liked it. You said hush. Those first three words just set the tone, and I could feel her resentment beyond. Just build on that. This is a terrific piece. I loved it.
Thank you, Captain. My salute. Gene, back to you. What's next?
Well, I don't know. I think this one. So I'm going to put this up, Laurent, and it's your read. So here we go.
Okay. I love that image. Think you can dance. I said, go ahead, we'll take a chance. So you entered us and think you can dance. Wasn't at all worried about the dancing pros. Just wasn't too keen on wearing those clothes. Wouldn't be good on TV showing our butts. And the prize money was more than peanuts. We were pretty good, but I thought another pair would win. Sad about the accident. How did they slip on a banana skin? Been on this show now for a few weeks or more. Tonight is the final, so let's hit that dance floor. We can get around here with considerable ease. Seems to be much easier than swinging from trees. The judges have told us we are not the prettiest pair, but we can dance like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. Each and every night now, we have danced to impress. Who says dancing is serious and not monkey business? We are dancing really well now. Others are showing disgust. Seems we have the advantage of showing sheer animal lust. The judges have chosen us. We were too good to ignore. Crowd are cheering, too. Listen to that deafening roar. They are going bananas, and some are going nuts. Don't believe we had it in us, that real killer touch. We have won it all. We're the best dancers, that's true. You think they will miss us back there at the zoo. And poem. B2, would you start us off, please?
I stopped laughing. This is delightful. What a wonderful piece of whimsy. Great rhyming, visual imagery. The storytelling in this is superb. I mean, from start to finish. But we can dance like Ginger Roger and Fred Astaire. The judges have told us we're not the prettiest hair. This is a terrific piece of humor. Very, very, very well done.
Absolutely. Nice comment. In my comment, the stanza that I quoted was, the judges have told us we're not the prettiest pair, but we can dance like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. We are dancing really well now. Others are showing disgust. Seems we have advantage showing sheer animal lust. Well, I told Provider that I awarded this umpteen laughs, 5 applause, 4 hysterical cackles, 3 smile at innuendos, 2 love the image, and 1, the biggest, gold star for humor. He is just too good, too funny. Tom, please.
This is delightful. I enjoyed the humor, the lightness, the willingness to play, you know, the sort of playing with the words so that the lyrical quality of the poem made it fit so perfectly with the whole idea of dance. I just enjoyed it greatly.
As did I. Thank you so much. And Kel, please.
Delightfully entertaining. Amusing from beginning to end. He kept to the theme rigorously. And, you know, the characterization of the two monkeys was spot on. It was just really a delightful, amusing piece. I loved it.
It was. It really was. That was a great Photoshop, too, on that image. James, you...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, I thought this was a wonderful, lighthearted piece, Poeta, and I thought, you know, I appreciated you sharing it with us all tonight. Everybody can use a good chuckle now and again. And I missed your humor. You've been, you know, you always tended to throw something up that was something to make us chuckle, and I appreciate that always. So, great job. Okay. Now, I can add that. And go back. Okay, now the next piece I have is by Versus Goliath. So, I'm going to take that one. Here we go.
A Bit Peckish by Versus Goliath. Frigid airs, hollow bones, giddiness carries feathers, acrid coal smoke, mile away. Gray smog monster in distance, so far, so far. O'er sea the breeze blows like our earth breeze coughs. A wayward gust pushes course, waves follow. Water ripples around receding island's beaches. Homes sink and crash, fresh food for fish. Lofty eyes see opportunity, dive head first into open sea, disappear in blue verdant oscillation, keratin captured dinner splashes, break surface tension with golden beak, a sleek rising ascension, crescent wings spread, flap, without thought, simply move on. Appear, appears, how dainty, perch upon Ferris wheel, bipedal primates scream, laugh, drop tasty treats, easy meals. Next to giant illuminated green leaf, a usual customer throws crumbs, flurry of feathered friends follow him, like Pied Piper carrying a bimbo product, rustled fighting for morsels of raspberry jelly. It's all really quite silly. Headphoned litterer drops half pastry by trash can. Not in. Bye. Just why? All the better for Ferris Wheel Brewster, who was swooping in before treat hit ground. In one motion, sweeps prize and aims for lighthouse. Its beam not yet present, but a beautiful spot all the same. Sweet victory tastes so much better when where crashing waves clap. Sweeping skyline sings arias, caw along. In arcing lit darkness, do those eyes see this rocky embankment? Silent nights whisper tales of those who've gone higher. Shooting comets disperse in atmosphere, a fiery death. Blue, yellow, orange, purple, mere moments of existence where meteor sees our world, no time to form a sentence. Though perhaps millions of years spent in vacuum, how maddening it must be, so much to say, and no one to talk to. End poem.
Nicely done. In the interest of time, because we're starting to run short, I'll be very brief. The part of it where he says, like Pied Piper carrying a bimbo product, Russell fighting for morsels of raspberry jelly, it's all really quite silly. It is silly, but an entire bird culture is built on scraps from humans. I thought this was an interesting look on flight, on loneliness, and its concomitant observations. It was a nice share. Tom, how about you?
I enjoyed this for the way it shifted back and forth between the White House and its relationship both to the birds, the gulls, and the ocean, and the more human universe with the Ferris wheel, the fair, and the ways in which the birds kind of sell themselves out by chasing after somebody who's like a Pied Piper. The question that comes, you know, headphone litter drops half pasty by trash can, not in by just why, and that sudden swoop for it when its beam not yet present, but a beautiful throttle, the same sweet victory tastes so much better when we're crashing waves, clap, sweeping skyline sings arias call along. There's, to me, that sort of speaks to the whole thing, the wildness of nature, and yet at the same time, the dependency we create in our relationship with nature. An interesting poem. It's one of those ones where I can see many different layers that one can play with in thinking about it. Well worth reading again.
Thank you, Tom. Very observational. And Kel, please.
Well, being a little bit more of a literate person, I see the birds, the sky, and how they interact, what the gulls might actually see, and how they might relate to humanity. It's just really well done. Lofty eyes, the opportunity, dive head first into open sea, disappear in blue verdant oscillation. I like his alliteration. I love his wording. He's always got this wonderful technique that just pulls you right along with the whole story, and it's beautifully done.
Thank you, Kel. And Bobby, please.
Great title, first off. I think it was a marvelous take on the prompt. It gives an interesting perspective. It's almost the seagull's perspective of humanity, which I think is interesting, because we think a lot of ourselves, and I don't think the birds do. except as meal tickets, which I enjoyed also the structure. I like Tom said, the way it moved back and forth, because it suggests motion, like the bird flying. And I really think that the just the metaphors and the way the whole thing is portrayed is beautifully done.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Bobby. And Gene.
I think that this was a great piece. I thought it was well expressed. I really enjoyed it. So thank you, Versus, yet again for another wonderful piece. Appreciate the SoundCloud, and it's wonderful. Definitely wonderful. Thomas, can I ask you to read the next one, please?
Yes, certainly.
Thanks, son. I appreciate it.
Okay, here we go. Believe by Longfellow's Serenade. The epigraph, don't believe what your eyes tell you. All they show is limitation. Look with your understanding. Find out what you already know, and you'll see the way to fly. Poem. Believe your eyes and and you'll see limitations leave your ears, and they'll just tell you no. Self-confidence must rest on firm foundations. It's then you know how far that you can go. If you should ask a rabbit how to fly, he'll say the thought is inconceivable. But if you look an eagle in the eye, he'll tell you that it's quite achievable. Consider, if you will, the brothers Wright. Both laughed at them for saying they would soar when they viewed the spectacle of flight. Those people weren't laughing anymore. Don't heed the skeptics. They are just a cancer. They try to kill your dreams, but rest assured that if you trust your heart, it holds the answer. Have faith and know your dreams can be secured. End quote.
Great job, Thomas.
Well read, Thomas. Thank you so much. You know, in this day and age, this naysayers are called haters. Haters reject thoughts, anything that's new, right away. Can't happen. So that line, don't heed the skeptics, they're just a cancer, rings absolutely true. Instead of taking the thought and diving into it and seeing if perhaps it's possible, they just tell you no, can't be done. Well, I thought this poet really knew how to answer those people with his poem. It's really quite good. Gail, please.
Believe in yourself, not the naysayers. Well written. Well said. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. I like the reference to the Wright brothers. You know, people laughed at them, and they did it anyway. You know, slapping their face. You know, we can do this. You don't have to believe it. You know, it's just, I really love this. Don't keep the skeptics here, just the cancer. They'll kill your dreams, but rest assured that if you trust your heart, it holds the answer. It's just really beautiful. Out the bottom.
Thank you, Gail. Quite a good statement. I'd love for some of these naysayers to look at some of the people today who wear these flight suits with the built-in wings and dive off cliffs, and just, my Lord, that's stunning stuff. There's so much waiting for us in the future. I swear. Poppy, please.
This was very relatable to me. I think that the take on the prompt is just wonderful. This is such a simple piece, but so profound. And the last two things, consider, if you will, the brothers Wright, when the people weren't laughing anymore after they did it. Don't heed the skeptics. They're just a cancer. They'll try to kill your dreams. It made me remember of the day I graduated high school. I announced to my friends that I was joining the Marine Corps, and I was greeted with disbelief and peals of laughter. And I went with what my gut told me, and I ended up making a career out of it. So I think if you stay true to yourself and true to what you feel you can do, and not let other people define your limits. And not set bounds on yourself. That's why I love the last stanza. If you trust your heart, it holds the answer. Have faith and know your dreams can be secured. So I really identified with the piece.
Thank you for that great comment, Bobby. Tom, please.
No, I just like the whole presentation. I like the way he uses the rhymes and the rhythm he creates in the piece. Because if you think about the second verse about the ask a rabbit how to fly, and he'll say the thought is inconceivable, but if you look an eagle in the eye, he'll tell you that it's quite achievable. You have to also understand, and I think you make a good point of this, who you're talking to. And don't, you know, don't ask fools to give you wisdom. and don't ask people who have no experience in what you're talking about to suddenly understand what you're trying to explain to them. You have to trust yourself. He's very right in there. And recognize who you need to listen to and what you need to do. I just thought this was a really sharp piece all the way through. And done in a way that's totally unpreached, and which is a really hard thing to do for this kind of piece.
Thank you very much, Tom. Jean, the comment is yours.
Well, I thought it was a great poem, and I enjoyed it very much. I thought it was well expressed, and I thought it was an awesome take on the poem. So with that being said, I'm going to try and squeak one more poem in tonight. And this is one by Rob Azza, and I have a SoundCloud for that. So here we go.
Sticks scratching in the sand. The lessons are there, boxed in letters and wind, symbols of flight and might and wandering lust. This weightless destiny, this excusable existence, each undistinguishable from the next. We pride ourselves in time, on life, on the waves in which we crest, as we float on white caps, bellowing and bustling and bursting at the seams, trying to define our energy, our needy cries, our searching pride. And we thud against the shores, ragged for long-lost winds, purple in their demeanor, contagious in their assault, as we balance our importance, our presence versus yours, against a throbbing windstorm, rising up from the riverbeds, in glistening streams, in darkened clouds, that splatter and froth, only to find you, and the others, hunched in exhaustion, staggering in confusion, naked to the touch. Wondering why each body laid out on the shore, faceless and limp, resemble not him or her or even you or me, but all of us, a battalion of sparring souls, just sticks scratching in the sand. End poem.
Wow. A lot of true words in there. And I like the way it was presented. I like the way it was written. We pride ourselves in time on life, on the waves in which we crest as we float on white caps, bellowing and bustling and bursting at the seams, trying to define our energy. And trying to define our energy is a very salient point. I think we spend most of our lives trying to accomplish that, but I'm not sure I agree with the ignoble fate of most of us that you describe. A battalion of sparring souls, just sticks scratching in the sand. Some amazing things have been scratched in the sand, but I see where you're coming from. Its viewpoint is valid, and it's poetically very accomplished. Bobby, could we start with you?
Certainly. It is a very well-written piece. The metaphors are just so well-crafted. A lot of visual imagery here. I'm inclined to agree with you. I like where he says, we pride ourselves in time on life in the waves in which we crest as we float on white caps. I agree. We do look at our accomplishments in life, and I think that the ignominious end that he ascribes to us, I don't think is the case, because there have been many souls that have shown far beyond that, and I don't think they're just simply scratched. You're right. The things that have been scratched in the sand are quite remarkable. E equals MC squared being one of them.
There you go. Thanks, Bobby. Thank you very much. I was afraid I was kind of alone in my point of view, but that's all right. Tom, please.
Yeah, I tend to be of the same mind. Some of us do great things and make large difference to a huge number of people. And yet, we're never going to be written about in history books or be incredibly famous. But you know, there are the people who are famous, like, you know, just to take a name, Dwight Eisenhower, and think of the teachers who made a difference in his life, the people who were his commanders and taught him how to lead or took his own skills and made them better. They may not appear to have accomplished much in their life, but I think their accomplishments were great. So, yeah, we're all out there doing the best we can. And sometimes it looks pretty futile, you know, staggering in confusion, naked to the touch, yada, yada. But we're far greater often than just fake scratching in the sand. And we're making differences many times, more, far more than even we can see ourselves.
Thank you, John. And Cal, very briefly, what did you think? Not that briefly, dear. Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
I was attracted to how we balanced our importance, our presence versus yours, against the throbbing windstorm. You know, it's like we're on a journey together but alone. And in the end, we all end up in the same condition, staggering in confusion, naked to the touch, wondering why each body laid out on the shore, faceless and limp, resembled not him or her, or even you or me, but all of us. I thought that it was a very deep and philosophical poem. Well done.
All right, great comment. And now I want to send it back to our worthy host, Jean.
She can bid us goodbye.
I don't know about all that. I will say that it was a great piece, and I appreciate the share. I want to thank everyone who called in tonight and made the show a wonderful show. You know, I appreciate everyone, especially those who have taken the time from their day to hang out with us tonight. Great poetry, great comments, everybody. It's been fun. It's been real. Thank you, Laurent, for co-hosting with me, amongst other things. And, yes, wonderful, wonderful show tonight. And I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Seeing you all next week. So you take it easy, and we'll talk soon. Thank you.
Good night, all.
May much love.